Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for this wonderful time that you've gotten us in. And I thank you, Lord, that the fiery trials are almost over here on top of this mountain. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll be going through that door here shortly. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And I praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us to bring us into that place to where we will help a lot of people here shortly, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and everybody that comes on tonight, Lord. Bless them with your presence and with your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? All five of you, four of you. Let's do this. Let's pray. Let's pray what I know to pray right now. In the name of Jesus right now. I stop. I bind up all witchcraft against Trump and his administration right now in the name of Jesus. You do not have any right to do this. And I praise you, Father, that you have a shield of a protection around Trump and that his mind is clear and he has clarity of thought in his mind and that he will not make any more bad moves because of any kind of witchcraft coming against him. We're going to come against you, devil, every time we think about it. So you might as well quit your work against him right now, in Jesus' mighty name. And we praise you, Lord, that his mind is clear and he's going to start making good, turning back the things that he has already said that he was going to do that aren't to your will. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, that the money has been turned loose in Jesus' name to God's people. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just declare you said that we have every provision that we need. And in Jesus' name, I declare it and believe it, Lord, that all provisions are coming to this ministry right now in Jesus' mighty name. And there will be no hindrance to it. And I thank you, Father, for all the healings that are taking place even as we speak, because your word says it. We don't have to wait for it. We don't have to beg you for it, because you've already went to the cross for us, and all we got to do is claim it. And I thank you, Father, that I'm healed, and everybody here that claims it is healed. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for rooting out all the bad actors in his administration, in Trump's administration, right now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for cleansing power going through that administration right now and giving everybody there clarity of thought and making the right decisions snap quick in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Trump and all his administration in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else? Is there something else we need to pray for? Yeah, Missy.
My thought came to me is we command angels to go forth and expose all rhinos, all moles that are hiding, pretending to be somebody they're not, all deep state operatives in the Congress and Senate, House and Senate, and those that are plotting and scheming, pretending to be and do pretending to be on Trump's side and doing opposite or whatever in the name of Jesus. And we just declare them all to be exposed and to be removed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that that all of them are not going to get away with anything that they have plotting and scheming to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Julie.
Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I ask for that, Lord, on the people that are under all kinds of, having all kinds of issues right now regarding the weather. And I thank you for bringing down the deep state and their weather manipulation, their tools and weather weaponry that they're using against people. Lord, I pray for your grace and mercy and that these fires would get taken care of and totally contained that are burning across this nation and up in Canada and elsewhere. Lord, we send the angels now to help them help these firefighters. They have been going at it for months and months, Lord, putting out fires, and it's tiring. It's hard work and this heat, Lord, during the summer it makes it even more difficult. So, but there's nothing too difficult for you. So angels, go forth and help them do their jobs, send them the resources that they need, all the fire retardant, Lord, and change the wind direction so the fire burns back on itself and goes out. Give them favor, Lord, with these things, and bring rain where we need rain, Lord, in Jesus' name, to help alleviate the severity of all these things that they're doing. Thank you, Lord, for stopping these fires. In your due time, I know you're bringing judgments, Lord, but I'm asking for your mercy because you are a merciful God. And I know the smoke is having an effect on a lot of people, Lord. And I know all these the severe weather that's happening and what they're trying to create with hurricanes out in the Atlantic and excessive heat throughout the country, Lord, in different places, and the droughts and flooding and all these things. God, you are God and you are merciful and gracious, and we're calling on your name, God, to bring help, Lord, angelic help, Lord, to help control these things on the earth, Lord, and bring down the deep state. We thank you for stopping them from getting away with what they're doing. Lord, we confuse, we spend, send confusion into their communications, Lord, that they will make mistakes that will allow them to get caught and fall into the traps that they have made according to your will and what your word says, that they fall into their own traps and snares the wicked do. Thank you for doing that, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for providing for your people, God, and during these times that you're drawing people unto yourself, unto Christ, and they are repenting for things that they're asking, they're calling on your name. And you're working in people's hearts. I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers, for working in people's hearts and granting repentance and turning them around. There's nothing too difficult for you, Lord. I thank you for helping us to have answers for people, why these things keep happening. A lot of people are just thinking it's the rapture is imminent. And bind and cast down that false demon doctrine in Jesus' name. They are greatly deceived, and they're going to be very disappointed when they realize the tribulation is starting and they're in judgment. These are just precursors because you're wanting to get people's attention. But thank you, Lord, for bringing light into people's darkness and exposing this deception of the pre-tribulation rapture, Lord, and how man is just misleading the multitudes. We bind these lying prophets and teachers and evangelists and these false spirits that are lying, leading the multitudes astray. God, help people to see that, even start thinking, what if we have started the tribulation? We shouldn't be here because of all these things. And they start really seeking you and asking you and praying and turning to your word for the answers, God, and seeking truth, and you'll bring them the truth because that's your desire, Lord, for people to know the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Michael, you're muted.
I knew that I was looking up something. All right, anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Ben.
I don't necessarily have a prayer, but I have something to share. So yesterday we had a civic holiday, so we had all had the day off, and I went to Port Hope with Karen, and that's a little town that's just close to the border, and it's basically where I'm sure some of you have heard of him, a guy named Joseph Scrivens. He went from Ireland. And he wrote the poem, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Yeah. And yeah, I went to his memorial. That's basically why I wanted to go down there. Karen wanted to go shopping. I don't know why. And so yeah, we had a good time down there. Port Hope was nice. And then, we kind of walked around because I've never been there. And then I saw two ladies sitting on the side with like a books that said guide on it, and I thought it was a tour guide. So I went up and I was like, "Oh, what do you guys got here?" And I saw guide, and then I saw their plaque and it said Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, "Oh no, what have I done?" And so I was like, "Okay, sure." And I was talking to them. They were very nice ladies, so. And they said, and they were like, "Oh, we have some reading material here if you guys want to read something." And I said, "Yeah, we're Christians, and that's our strong beliefs. We believe, and we're disciples of Jesus Christ." And then they were like, "There's not a lot of difference, and we're happy to see that there's, faith in something, and that there's a lot of evil in the world and all that, and that it's gonna all go away one day and it's all gonna be good." And then I said, "Yeah, in the second coming of Christ, when all things come good." And then I was like, "Oh, did I say too much?" And then she kind of gave me a look and I said, "Well, it's a beautiful day. I hope you guys have a good day." And I'm thinking about it, like, did I say too much? Should I have said something different? And so I don't know, maybe it was something that they needed to hear, but I don't know. Maybe I overstepped something by saying that, because they definitely don't believe that. Anyways, I want to just be weak to the weak as best as I can, and but I definitely want them to hear something more than what they have. Yeah. And then, we had a good day. We had some gelato, and then we went to Kingston and went back home. It was a good day.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for running into the JWs. I used to run into them when I was on the street. I'd run into them all the time. I got friends with some of them, I said, I don't mind. I tell them, I said, I don't mind talking to you all about the Word of God as long as you're talking about the Word of God. And they knew what I meant. Okay, anybody else? Praise God. What is the temperature? It's still 82 out there. All right. I had a question I wanted to ask. I'd like to ask this question to see, get y'all's answers. What do you think could be the problem with people not getting their prayers answered? That could be a potpourri, or I know you're going to say faith. Forget that. Faith is, we all know what faith is, but there's a lot more to it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I was going to say double-mindedness.
Yeah. Well, double-mindedness is good, but what do you think the main reason Christianity doesn't get their prayers answered? Yeah, Julie.
I think a lot of times they're not praying. They don't know what God's will is. They don't know, so they don't know how to pray. Sometimes they just think, like, well, I don't know. If it's your will, God, then I want this. If it's your will, Lord, then can you
Bingo.
do this? Yeah.
Bingo. That's the way most Christianity. Lord, if it's your will. Well, healing is his will. He's already went to the cross for us. Deliverance is his will. So all of that, sometimes we go up there and we beg God to do those things when all we have to do is go in there, like I've done all day today, is thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Father, that I am here. Praise you for your promises. It tells me that I don't have to put up with this garbage anymore. And watch what happens. Anybody else? That's not the only answer. That's just one of them. Could it be that we don't? Oh, go ahead, Barbara.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, I will not hear you. So I was going to say sin, unbelief too, of course, but sin. If you have any kind of sin going on in your life, willful especially, that's what that was my answer.
Yeah, well, that's true. You got to get rid of your sin. Yeah, Missy.
Mine's pretty much like Barbara's. What was coming to my mind, I had to look it up. I knew it was in Epistles of John, First John, whatever. First John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. People don't realize that, they don't. They don't understand that if they're in sin, and not repenting of it, God's not going to hear them. He's not going to answer their prayers, and they don't have boldness lots of times too, because they don't, because their heart does condemn them, and they don't
Okay.
get the answers.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Ben.
Well, I think it's a very, just to kind of add on to what Missy was kind of saying, I think a lot of people that are in the church and in Christianity, they don't really know like who they are in Christ Jesus.
Know the
They don't,
bingo.
yeah, they have something there, and I think that they know about, well, at least a little bit about forgiveness and a little bit about salvation, but they don't know about where they're seated, who they are in Christ, that they're sons of God, and that not only can they, know that they're saved, but that they can bring cleansing to the things around them and speak to things and how, using their words of faith and bringing thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And yeah, just they don't have like an intimate connection enough with God to know how much love of God is living through them, I guess. I guess I'm getting a little bit too into it, but I think we all know. I think
Yeah.
I, yeah.
Well, I've heard them in churches and stuff. They'll beg God to do things for them, and they don't know who they are in Christ, as you alluded to there. They don't have a clue who they are in Christ. And when they understand who they are in Christ, then they can pray correctly. And to pray correctly, I mean command things to happen. When you look up the scriptures about what you need and you find that scripture, you cling to that scripture and say, Lord, here's what you said. Joe says, what's our purpose here? Let's learn about Jesus. No, we're talking, Joe, we're talking about prayer and why we don't get our prayers answered sometimes. And we've already talked about doubt and unbelief, and now we're talking about who we are in Christ. A lot of people don't understand who they are in Christ, and what their legality status is in the kingdom. And they always want to pray by begging God. So that's something that also has been brought up. Oh, look at that boy, girl. Hey, girl. Hey, Kayla. Kayla, what you doing, huh? What you doing, girl? Look at that grin. Hey, girl. All right. Yeah, come on. You can come on over to Michael's place. All right. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I was just thinking that exactly what Joe asked, what's our purpose here? And that's it kind of fills in with what Ben was saying and Missy and everyone else is that you have to know that God created you, created us for a purpose. And we're not just, we weren't created to sit in a pew and funnel our finances to the front, when the dish passes or whatever, and then go home and live our life as standard, people, but God has created us. What is that scripture? I think it's in Corinthians. A new creature, I think, or creation, a new creation. I probably should have looked it up, but because I just now thought of it. But I remember looking up that word creation. Or creature, I think King James calls it a creature, that you are a new creature in Christ, a new, and it means a new creation or formation. Something that wasn't here before you accepted Christ, before you repented and believed in Christ. And something new was created or formed that had never been on the planet before. And that was when he brought you and I into the kingdom. And everybody that has entered into Christ. And it's a new formation, a new creation. And we are here. We were created for a purpose. And Ephesians 2:10, it appears that God has already created good works or righteous works for us to be able to walk in and function in. And those works that he created for us to function in were created and are inside of us in Christ. And so there's n we've not only been created with a purpose, but we've been created with the properties to be able to make that purpose happen. So I don't know. It was just and it all I think it all fits together with, knowing who we are in Christ. And what has God created here, you know? And so that was just kind of my thoughts.
Good thoughts. All right, go ahead, Julie.
In the, I guess kind of like what everyone's been saying, but in addition to, I guess, is people haven't, most of Christianity haven't heard the true gospel yet. They don't know what the true gospel is, that like our purpose is, to manifest the life of Christ. They just haven't heard the real gospel. So if you don't know what the real gospel is, you can't formulate your prayers in such a way that they have any power or any faith. They don't know what faith is. They think faith is their religion. So there's a lot of things that God's delivered us from when you think about, oh God, where I've been and what you've saved me from and what you've, the revelations you've, given to us by your grace and everything is, thank you, Lord, for the truth and knowing, these, giving these, he's made known to us, blessed are your ears for they hear. Blessed are your eyes for they see, because not everyone has that. But there's coming a time we know in the outpouring of the latter rain. There's God's gonna have a great revival, but I think that's a lot of it too. Is they don't know what the real gospel that is yet. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Ben.
Just to sort of add on to what Julie was kind of saying, a lot of them think that they're sinners saved by grace. And so you can't really get an answer to prayer when you're a sinner because, well, you can't. It's just kind of how it goes. And so they have faith in knowing that they're sinners. And so their faith isn't in the sort of redemption or the sort of the cleansing or anything like that. But their hope is put in something wrong, that all they can really be is just on this earth hoping for the best instead of the Christ being living through them. They see it as, I don't even know what they think. I don't know how they think that they're sinners saved by grace when it says it's so obvious. They're just sort of lost, and they sort of put themselves, they sort of kicked their own feet, like before they even started running. And that's what religion does. They're kind of stuck in a religious mindset. And, well, that's sad.
They're in hope. They're not in faith. Most of them are in hope. And because they're always saying, well, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. When we should be saying, I am healed. Because God's word says it don't make any difference what I feel in my body. I'm healed, Lordy God, because Jesus said it. And if he said it, it's done. And that's the mindset that God wants his people, the sons and daughters of his, to act, is to be like, yep, my dad already did. He's already made me here. Already got me here. All I gotta do is claim it. There it is. Go ahead, Pat.
I think there's a lot of aspects of truth, and that is displayed in various different flavors of Christianity out there. And like, and many of them have points of truth that they accentuate. And they don't realize that holding down or suppressing those other portions of scripture that they don't understand and that appear to contradict with what they're currently believing, they don't understand that that suppression is deception, or is a form of, a form of deception. It's holding down some portions of truth so that you can make your picture function. Now, that being the case, I know Ben mentioned that, I don't know how these people can function that way. When you're born again, when you're born into you're born into a new system, and just like a baby, you're not you don't come into the kingdom knowing it all. You come into the kingdom like a sponge. You want to learn everything. And even the apostate world, I'm going to say that, in our Baptist tradition, which is kind of what I first went through, the schooling or the education system in the colleges that trained pastors and whatever, they taught, and I was told this, that they taught in they have various different classes on this and that, and theology and church building, church planting, and whatever. And so, and one of the things that I was told is that they try to allow people that are professional workers, shall we say, pastors and deacons and whatever, that when you bring somebody into the kingdom, you have basically 2 years to work with them, because after 2 years, they'll start to fall away. And I think that describes, number one, it describes the absolute complete absurdity to that whole system, number one. But the very first thought that should be happening there is, well, why do people fall away after 2 years? Why is that? Well, they weren't saved, or they weren't whatever. And they have all their points, but that question is never asked. What they do is say, all right, so if they're going to fall away after 2 years, this is what we have to do in the first 2 years, so we can get everything we can get out of them before they fall away, I think. So in that whole process, and what I believe is happening is that when one is born again into the kingdom, again, they come as a baby, they come as a sponge, and they start soaking this stuff up, and the truth is coming in, the truth is coming in. And after a certain amount of time of absorbing all this truth, now you're starting to see the things that your particular group or theology doesn't. They don't believe this. They believe this over here, but they don't believe this, because they don't say that. They say, we don't believe that way, and then they give you a whole spiel as to why it fits with their current theology. And so these new born again people are starting to now realize, hey, there's something not right here, something not right in the mix. I mean, if it's truth here in this verse, what makes it not true in this verse? What's, how does that work, And so then they start to experience and see the hypocrisy of that. So it's to me, it's good to know that that mechanism happens because there is great, great hope. And you have to take this right. There's great hope for those in that system that have fallen away, that have turned away. I'm not saying that they are right. I'm saying that there's great hope in that group, though they don't know it, because they're about to, they've gone into a place now where they're going to get the hell beat out of them by the world system. And that is in itself a wilderness that they're not, you know, they're not prepared to go through, so to speak. And it is my hope and prayer that in that group, there are going to be people that are ready to hear the truth, ready to hear the complete, full, and absolute true gospel, and will turn again and repent and seek. And seek that out and walk with God. And now I lost my train of thought now, but I believe that there is great hope in that area. One of the things, I guess, the question that Michael raised. And that I brought up as purpose being a thing, not knowing our purpose, but there's also not doing what you know you need to be doing. And I'm just going to say, I find myself in that category right now. That there are things that I feel like I should be doing, yet there are battles, inner battles in there that are still fighting, that are still in the fight. I was stuck on this the scripture as I was reading through this section of scripture today and yesterday. It was a script. It was the story about Jesus, the Father coming to him and asking him to heal his son, to cast the demon out of his son. Excuse me, it was in Mark 9, chapter 9, Mark chapter 9. And I'm just going to read a section of it real quick. It's the one where he says, one of the multitudes answered, "Teacher, I brought unto thee my son who hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it taketh him, it dasheth him down, and he foameth, grinds his teeth, and pines away. I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, and they were not able." Excuse me. They were not able. And Jesus said to them, said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And then he asked, He asked the father, "How long has this been since it came to him?" And he said, "From a child. Oft time he's been cast into both the fire and the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And of course, Jesus said, "If thou can do anything, or if I can do anything, how all things are possible to him that believes." Then the father said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." But the first time I read that, I thought, what the heck is he saying here? I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. He believed a certain thing. He believed enough to bring his son to Jesus. But there was a level of faith and belief that he didn't have, that he wasn't didn't have functioning in him. And so he cried out to God, cried out to Jesus, said, "I believe I've got this much, or at least I've got some belief, but help thou mine unbelief, help the part in me that isn't on that page, and bring it. Help it, give it grace, give it the ability to believe." And I think that father, or at least this example, because it kind of hit me, is that I don't know if I have, I'm going to say, plateaued or hit a wall or stopped or but I think I shouldn't say feel, but I think there are things within me that have that need to be broken still. And it And maybe this is a prayer or a confession or whatever, but when Michael asked that question, that was the first thing that I thought, is that I'm not doing that which the Lord has put on my heart to do. I'm not walking in that way. And I believe, maybe this is the "I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief" section, but I believe that it is those things, that confession, that function, that walk, that is the necessary death nail to put that old man in the coffin for good, and to set the new man free in me. And that's I'm just spitballing because I'm throwing it out. I feel that verse right now. Help thou mine unbelief, Lord. And I know my daily prayer for a long time is, thank you, Lord, for bringing me into your perfect place in Christ. Thank you for delivering me out of this present kingdom of evil and translating me into your kingdom of life and liberty and love and
purpose and power and authority and casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. You put me into that place, Lord, and I thank you for it. And my prayer tonight, Lord, is to help thou mine unbelief and bring me into that place that is real in manifestation form in totality. And I thank you for it. And I ask it of my brothers and sisters as well, Lord, that each and every one of us, even as I was thinking of that pastor that was the example that was raised from the dead after 3 days. He was a pastor and he was speaking the gospel, preaching the gospel, visiting the sick. I'm sure he was doing all of the things. Yet there was something in his life that he needed to get out of, get it out of his life. And he didn't see it at the time. But each and every one of us potentially have that same thing, that same issue, maybe the same thing happening in our, it may be a different issue, a different thing, but it is the thing that prevents us and keeps us from entering in to that fullness that you've provided. And I thank you, Lord, for you are helping our unbelief. You are the only one that can help our specific unbelief and bring us into that place. And so I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your truth, and your reality in our life to do exactly that. And I praise you and thank you for the victory you've given us in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Most of us were taught that prayer is pleading. We've heard phrases like storming the gates of heaven, bombarding heaven with prayer, or crying out till God hears us. And a lot of times we say, Lord, if it's your will, some of us have probably done it in the past. Let me just hear me this one time, Lord. I'm not worried, but maybe you'll have mercy. And we think that's humility. But what it is in reality, that you don't know who you are in Christ. It's a mindset that sees ourselves as outsiders trying to earn God's attention. It's the voice of an orphan. It ain't the voice of one of God's children. We want to approach God like Jesus did. How did he approach him? With boldness and familiarity. And that's how he wants us to be. In my humble opinion, he's already given us all the promises. They're all ours. And you're right. Sometimes we want to do things like other people, but God wants us to do them like Jesus did. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to approach the enemy like he's an enemy. And when you do that, you'll have success in your prayer life. That's just like this afternoon, Pat. Man, I've been feeling rough all day. I'll just be honest with you. I've been feeling rough all day. I've been feeling tough. I'm talking pain, all kinds of garbage. Until I got to thinking about it and I said, what are you doing? This is just a couple of hours ago. And I got up out of my seat and I started claiming the victory, telling the Lord who I am. telling the enemy who I am in Christ. You ain't got any reason to be in this temple of the Holy Ghost. So I command you to go right now. Guess what happened? It went. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, I struggled all day. Why? Because I was sitting here in my pity. Yeah. Yeah. Look at me, Lord. I'm just, oh, golly, help me, Lord. Help me, help me. When he's already done it. All I had to do is get up off my behind and start claiming the victory. And when I did that, I went downstairs. I was claiming it all the way down, back up. Now, if we know what that David thought, I was some kind of nut, I guess. Anyway, but I was, I was claiming the victory. Time, by the time that I got back upstairs, the pain, the discomfort had left completely. Praise God. Pat, I dealt with it all day. I woke up this morning feeling bad. Oh, Jesus, help me. You know, instead of getting up and starting, trust God, I'll do it from now on. And I know better. But you know how we are sometimes. Somebody feels sorry for me and come over here and cook my dinner and do all this stuff. Bring me some chicken noodle soup, praise God, you know, and baby me and do all that like my mama and my wife used to do. How you feel, Michael? Oh, honey, I need some chicken noodle soup. That'll help. Yeah. But anyway, praise God, I finally got a hold of it. I said, I ain't gonna put up with this anymore. Yeah, that's right, Julie. The oppression of the enemy. He don't play fair. He don't. All right, go ahead, Andrew. I think you were first.
So we're still on the question there, right? On
yes, sir.
Why prayers are sometimes not answered. Anyways, but like you were talking boldness, maybe we should think about it as no worries, no anxieties. I know we know the verse, but sometimes we forget we have authority. And it happens to all of us, but I think that one of the reasons why they don't get any answer to prayer is because they don't know what the gospel is, and they don't know what the covenant is, and they don't know how they work. And, you know, the gospel is, well, you can use Ephesians 2:10 as the gospel, for we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. Okay? So if he's doing it all, if he's preparing it, and we have to walk in it, and we have to walk in the light, and we have to walk in the love, and we walk in Jesus Christ, as it says in the second chapter of Colossians. But what's the covenant? Well, I think if you look at Hebrews 8 and 10, the 10th verse there, that he puts his word, his law, in us. God does. And if he's putting it in us, in our mind, and you know, what is heart? Some people think it's that organ. It's the heart of things. What's central? Who's that inward man in us? The heart, and it's of course Christ in you, the hope of glory, and it's that Christ dwell in your heart by faith, of course, but that the Christ dwell in your heart through faith and love, rooted and grounded in there. You know, it's got to be put in there. You know, when you're on a in a place where you've studied a lot and the Lord's just working with you, reminding you of everything that he taught you, then you're in the zone, I think. But you know, if there is the gospel and we know what it is and how it works, that he's putting this in our mind and our heart, and all shall know him, from the greatest to the least of you, then there's an opponent that wants to put something else in your mind and heart. And it's kind of like we're not held to that. We don't believe, we don't adhere to any of man's work and any of the devil's work too, because that's the opposer who's very sinister and tries to trick us and lie to us and put something in our heart, when the simple answer could be right there before your eyes, you know, that you just confessed it, you know, and you just confessed, and now you should believe. So I believe that when the Lord is working with us, he'll just have it come out of us. We'll end up in a prayer or something, and it'll just come right out of us, you know. And sometimes you'll struggle with something like that for a very, very long time. What's the saying there? Blah, blah, blah. He always comes with something. And a fellowship is a good thing to have, because it'll just remind us, you know, Pat, that guy in that verse you were talking about, he confessed his sin. He confessed his unbelief, and he got it. And I believe one of the recent Bible studies, you know, I went, yeah, he confessed his sin. It's written right in there at Mark 9. And, you know, and I was going, yeah, he confessed his sin. So he gave him his son whole. It's not that it's unbelief. It's that other one trying to come in and put something crazy in our heads, you know. It's like you can struggle with it for the whole, you can struggle with something for a long time. Look how long Abraham wanted to have a baby, you know. You'd think everyone would know how to have a baby all the time. Anyway, so, and you know, he's 75, and he's leaving Chaldea, and his wife is 65, and just shows up in Egypt later, Sarah, and she apparently is a fine-looking woman at 65. So what happened there? And Abraham's still trying to think about how this is going to all work out for him. Maybe he's just a little bit too worried. I don't know. That's the example we have in Romans chapter 4, you know. And I think, you know, what a big thing is these denominations that we've been going into, they've been teaching us how to look at this word and how to read this word. And some ingrounded thing went in there that's got to be pulled out. We have to have God pull that out of us, and just have him, have the Lord Jesus, you know, have a repentance fest with God to take these things. Well, you know, because if he can input something into your mind and into your heart that's not supposed to be there, you know, on the wing of abominations shall come one that maketh desolate. So there's someone definitely putting a lot of stuff into the people who are God's people. You know, that's the warning Jesus gave his church in Matthew 24, spoken of in Daniel in 24:15. So if the Lord gave us a warning of something that's going to come, and so did Peter and Paul and all the apostles about the last days, and you know where the verses are. So these are the items that the adversary, the darkness and the wickedness, try to put in our heads and mind, at heads and heart, and that's not it, you know. And he's sly at this. He's no good, and And that's why fellowship is a really good thing to have. Even if you can sense someone else's problem that they've been struggling with, and you tend to think, well, how can I word this? I'm not the only one struggling, you know? Even Paul, you know, if you got to be let down through a wall in Damascus, that's a struggle, you know, and someone's got to let you down in the basket too, you know, and talk about a different kind of basket than Moses is, eh? And poor old Paul, you know, he's got his own basket now. Someone else is trying to make him a basket case. Like, if it's a division, it's a division. Leave me alone. You're divided, you know. Just leave me. Don't speak to me, you divisions of Christianity, because it's not scriptural. It isn't. It's in the first chapter of Corinthians. It's in the first chapter of Galatia. And this is who we were with. I went through five of them. Come on. If I'm supposed to be blah, 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 by now, but you know, the Lord takes things out. He you have to ask him to show some of the things that were all your could have been ingrained into you, that he's slowly drawing it out. He's drawing you still to be cleansed of these things. That's why I think. And of course, if you don't know some of these things, but he doesn't want you to say something and you have to listen carefully and listen to the Lord, and because you know, you might actually think, well, I ain't struggling enough. Perhaps I need some more long suffering, you know. I mean, after all, it's a fruit of the Spirit, eh? And no, just we have to just realize that there is these sayings, these laws, not just the law of Moses. Why did they kill Jesus? Because they had law people. And it's not the law. It's a new life that he was trying to teach them, a new spiritual life. He was giving them, like was taught to us, the spirit of the word. And the Pharisees would come back with the letter. They called him a blasphemer. They called him Beelzebub. And that's a completely different spirit, you know. And so it finally ended up the way it was supposed to end up, to fulfill prophecy for the Messiah, so that the new covenant can start. And so that we could be purchased in the blood of the Lamb. And we could overcome by the blood of the Lamb. An overcomer is a person who operates in that authority, who has boldness, who has no worries, no anxieties. The devil is always trying to get some little thing here or there, what he can pass by you. But we still have to live in this world too. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have to perk up, we have to pray, we have to ask God what's going on, you know, and have a foundation. The Lord gave me a saying, every word read, there's words there, and there's a potential. And you know, somewhere around the turn of from the 1700s to the 1800s, they came up with evolution, and it's been around for 225 years now. And Charles Darwin is not the founding father for this, and people say that he is, and he's not. He had to be duped also himself to fall into that by previous people who came up with it. He's the one who just was their evangelist, you might say, for the dark side. And so we watch, we're diligent, we are careful, we're courageous too, and we have authority in Christ. And all these things that I'm saying is what we want to be in a constant position on, and to have this discernment when you're being attacked. And that's why we come together, so that we can help each other. When we read about a pastor over there in Nigeria, you know, he's a pastor. He has his temptations too, and he has his attacks. He has the temptation is not a sin, you know, but it's certainly really is disastrous when it comes, you know, and you just can't let it draw you away. I mean, you can't let it take advantage of you. So this is why we have fellowship. Sometimes you just need a cold glass of water for someone, you know. Sometimes you need you got to step in the disciple's name and say, I understand that. I see that. I've read that, you know, and I've read the word. And where else is this example or similar to this example, you know? And you got to go beyond sometimes the gospels, into beyond the cross to the other side and find an example there, and then maybe go find an example for your temptation before Jesus was even born, you know, in the Old Testament. And of course you got to put it in with the spirit of the word, not the letter. And there is so much that's opposing, and I personally think it's just from a lack of knowledge too. My people perish from the lack of knowledge. But don't stress on just formal knowledge, because you can have a formal verse, but you know things because of being in an assembly of people and reading the books and reading the Bible and reading the stuff from UBM and attending maybe Wednesday or Sunday night's Bible studies, you attain a lot of things. And if this is why we seem to know we're not that we're better, but we're just different, because we're preoccupying ourselves with Christ. And if you don't have time because you go to work, I was there, and you still think about him a lot. And if God started this work in you, he's going to finish it. And I sometimes think people don't know their name. They don't know what kind of name they're supposed to have in their soul, where the fruit's supposed to be birthed by the word of God. And It's true, you know. You when you're in company here, you can talk to the other person. When someone from UBM talks to you, and when you have a companion, or just be able to talk to someone, it's really nice, because you know they're not judging you. Well. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I kind of lost my train as I was listening to Andrew here, but I guess I was thinking, when he Andrew first started talking there, and I was thinking of and was also thinking of your example there, Michael, as you spent the first part of the day under the gun, And I thought, when that happens to me, the very, and maybe this is a habit I got into a long time ago, first thing I think of is, what are you trying to show me here, Lord? And I think that, when I first started out, that scripture that the Lord gave me, I think it was in Proverbs, the reproofs of correction are the way of life. And when I and that was very instrumental in to me at that time is in understanding that God sends reproof or correction into our life to help us walk in the way. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us in that way and to understand how to take those reproofs or whatever. And again, it was very foundational in my life, I know at that time. But there was also something, excuse me, that I learned when I became a superintendent. What happened is I moved into a place where now I was overseeing and giving direction to people. And the picture the Lord gave me is that when I was a carpenter, or I worked with tools, electrician and various other different things, I had tools in my tool belt. And if I needed to do something, I had the tool right there, just reached in and grabbed it. If I needed a screwdriver or whatever. And of course, when you work in the trades like that, you get proficient at working with tools, and you buy just you always have the proper tool for the proper thing because it makes the job so much easier and quicker, whatever. Well, and so when I became a superintendent, I had to now learn how to change the way I accomplished jobs and projects. Now, my tools were now people, and I couldn't just, and so now if I needed a particular job done, I had to now learn how to communicate that to a person, and if that person didn't do it, then I had to learn how to communicate to others in order to apply necessary pressure to, make that thing happen, etc. The point I guess I'm getting to is that once I got into a position of authority, I guess you might say, I had to start learning different ways of operation. And so it took me a while that when I start to feel like this oppression and thing coming upon me, like Michael was explaining, my very first tendency is, oh Lord, what's happening here? What's going on? What are you trying to correct in my life? And as of the last few months or maybe year or so, I'm starting to learn that there's the correction that he has been wanting to in me is that now, instead of constantly looking inward at something in me that he's trying to correct, and now to start to move against that influence, move against it. And exactly like Michael was saying, he stopped and said, whoa, wait a minute. No, I ain't taking this. Devil, you're going to get out of here, that thing. And he went into battle mode. And I think that's really what the Lord is teaching me here as well on this thing. And when I look at Jesus, I remember getting the picture or the thought that, when Jesus came over the hill down to the river to meet John to be baptized in the Spirit, he had already died to self. That place of entering into that whole place in the Father had already taken place somewhere along the line before he came over the hill. And all we saw and of Jesus, as opposed to the example there in, in the early Gospels when he was born, and the one incident in the temple, we don't see anything else in his life, but the part that we see, the ministerial part that we see, was the part where, his old man was dead. He was alive in Christ. He was one in God. He was complete. In Romans 6:9, he says, knowing that Christ being raised to the dead, I'm starting this in the middle, but knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And knowing that it says later on in these verses in that chapter, knowing that we were crucified in him, and that same death applies to us as well, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, etc. And so that process, I believe, is taking place in us. And I believe it's that end result is referred to there in Hebrews 4:9, where it said, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. He that is entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience or unbelief. And so I'm seeing that is the thing that is happening Within me, I know that giving diligence to enter into that place of rest where death hath no more dominion, or that old man clinging to the earth has no more dominion because he's dead. And he's not only dead by faith, but dead by manifestation, spiritual death. And I have to connect that back into, the Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Those righteous acts, I believe, are those acts that God placed within each and every one of us in Christ, that I mentioned in Ephesians 2:10. Those acts that He put in there, in our heart, in the desires of our heart, that draw us to walk in those very ways in Christ. So, anyway. I'm rambling now, so I'll stop. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy. Thank you, Pat.
Joe can go first. I just have when you were saying about what was going on with you earlier today, it reminded me of something I wanted to give a testimony about. But Joe can go first because mine's just small. It's probably more on the subject.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
And what my question in the beginning was, but my remark was, what's our purpose here was in the beginning. Pat explains it, Pat, and I think Andrew explains it quite a lot. He says that verse in Mark, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, we put it this way, I believe is a mental accent. Help my unbelief is confession, supposed to be positive and not negative. In which he says my unbelief. In which his confession with his understanding is not the same. In other words, my I believe it's children. My unbelief should be children make you sons to believe. Now you understand what it was saying, Julie?
I'll have to ask Julie.
Yeah, I think I got what you're saying. It's like, I believe, help my unbelief. The first part we're saying, I believe, is mental assent. He knows like God's able. And then help my unbelief is like what he's not sure. Well, if I was understanding, it's not in his heart. Like he doesn't really know for sure, right? Is that what you meant, Joe?
Yeah, I believe is what he understands. He says my unbelief, in other words, his confession is negative. Confession is not what he's believing. In other words, that makes him only a child. If he
Like a
believes,
child,
if
like a
his
child.
action, if his confession is mental with his mouth, confession is the same as what he believes. That makes him a son. That makes him understand how you grow. That was my thinking about this.
Okay. Did you get that, Michael?
Yeah, I'm at
Okay.
it. Yeah. Go ahead, Missy. Thank you, both of you.
Well, I kept wanting to share this, but I kept forgetting. And then when you mentioned about that, anyway, I think it was Wednesday a week ago or longer. I don't know. I was messing around with hot water in the microwave. I was taking it out, and the handle that I was using to pull it out, I was holding on to it, but a little bit of it sloshed out and went underneath my hand here, and it burned. So right away I just started praying against it, and I put my hand under cold water, and it helped, and it wasn't burning much or whatever. And then I went upstairs and I was reading my Bible, and I was using my pen, or I was writing something, and it was bothering me, and it was really starting to burn. And I'm like, that's weird. And I just rebuked it, I said, you go in the name of Jesus, you will not burn. I will not, have any effects or whatever, leftover effects of it or whatever. And then, I just kind of ignored it, and it just went away. It just went away like that. As much as it was burning, in the natural, that just does not happen. And I never got any kind of a like sometimes when you burn, you get a little bit of a scab there after a little bit, but it didn't. Nope, it I didn't had nothing. So praise the Lord. I've had plenty of burns over the years from cooking and different things like that. And that was pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. So yeah, just like Michael, I took authority over it and I said no. So thank you, Lord.
You're muted, Michael.
Good. Thank you, Lord. These leg cramps are gone. In Jesus' name, I command it to be gone. All right, anyone else? I've got a song if y'all want to hear it. All right, let's see if I got it up. Yep. Got it up. Give me just a second here.
Your hands and bow your head, throwing out another prayer in faith. When you're wondering if he's hearing you, look at me, I'm living proof. I'm only right where I am today because somebody prayed. So I hit my knees because I've seen all. Looks like somebody prayed. For the child of God is far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone. I'm throwing out another prayer in vain. Still, I won't give up on you. I believe in anything.
Something happened.
Eric?
No, it's distorted somewhat. And the picture's gone.
Why when mountains move, I say, looks like somebody prayed.
Still can't hear it.
I've seen miracles come from feeble words. I've seen hospital rooms turned into cathedrals. I've seen your bed and you fold your hands and bow your head. Not a single word you've ever said in vain, cause he hears everything. So I hit my knees, cause I've seen all heaven move. I pray, Father, please, cause I've looks like somebody prayed.
I don't know what happened, but what happened to it?
It was just, I think we're getting. It says the UVM outreach is having a network bandwidth is low. So I think that was part of the issue.
Okay.
But God's got that fixed for you. Amen.
Yeah, I like it. So kind of fits in with what we're talking about tonight. Next time I'll let you do it, you or somebody else has got a good bandwidth. It's a good song. All right. Anybody else on how do we get our prayers answered? We pray, don't we? We pray with authority and command and use those promises that God's gotten, has given us. When we do that, we get answers to prayer, just like I did. Everybody else does.
I got a song. I got a song.
Okay, sing it.
No, that's not exactly what I had in mind.
Okay, go ahead.
You wouldn't mind giving me permission to share?
Okay. Yeah, let me get it on here.
One of those songs that lift you up.
All right, go ahead. Hi, Debbie. It is not in Jesus' name. Double click to enter full screen mode.
In the name of Jesus, you devils, get out of my internet.
Amen.
Oh,
Make it wide.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sing praise to Him and Him alone. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sing praise with me. Song.
they're really getting it after it after at the end, don't they? Man, that's awesome. Debbie, can you do that next meeting? Of course you can.
Well, all right. Next meeting, I'm singing a slower song, so I really can't.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Anybody else on prayers? How to get your prayers answered? Know God. Know the Word. Yeah, Joe.
Can I add something different, a little bit different? Well, firstly, David message on Sunday at Orchid Make. That's opened so many revelations to me, understanding what I was going through. But that's just one point. But last week, I say, for instance, the last week, what really make a difference in my life, thanks be to God, is in the mornings when I put on my armor, I pray the prayer. Just after, on my page, I write there in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I made a conscious decision. Now, from now, when I read this, I'm going to be positive today. This is going to be my day today. Every day, I start that like that. And that really helps me. And it's just, I don't know if it's a suggestion for you, but it helped me quite a lot. Make that constant decision. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I will not be negative today. Doesn't matter how many times I fail. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you.
Could you give that address again?
You mean the Nehemiah?
Yeah, is that what he said?
Who are you talking to? Yeah, it was Nehemiah.
Nehemiah what? Gesundheit.
Chapter 8, verse 10.
Chapter Nehemiah 8:10.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Oh, glory to God. All right. Anybody else on prayer? All right. Here's another one for you, unless somebody else has got one. Anybody else got a question? Yeah, Debbie. You just muted yourself.
Sorry. I have something to share on answered prayer.
Okay.
So to start off, my sister's daughter-in-law for years, alcoholic and drugs, and she did get saved, but she fell back. It's, you know, it's you go deliverance from that stuff. It was really kind of bad, but then she got saved, and I mean, she got delivered and really is walking strong in the Lord and still is. And but one of her sons, so my sister's what would that be? Anyway, my sister's daughter-in-law's son. He was a real quiet boy. I've always been a really quiet boy growing up and everything. And then just something just happened. And a few couple of years, maybe 3-4 years ago, he got into drugs and was really bad. And he had to go be sent somewhere. And it was really bad and really sad. And then we were praying for him. And next thing you know, he was doing really good, and he was back home. And I kept seeing him on things on Facebook, and he seemed really happy and looked really good. And he was doing well. He was doing really well. So my sister has been praying for him to be saved, you know, the family, you know. And so she just sent a text just a few minutes ago, a group text of me and my other sisters, saying that James, the boy I'm just talking about, that he did get saved, that it just happened. God. And she's just also just overjoyed. And I know that's really a blessing for Tanya, his mom, because She was delivered some other stuff, and she saw her son go into it. And so now they're just believing for Joy's son, Randy, Tanya's husband, that we're believing he's going to get saved next when he sees what happened with James, so his son. So anyway, everyone's just really joyful. So praise the Lord.
Do you want to pray for him and help her out and pray for the boy to come into the kingdom?
For Randy, James did come into the kingdom, yes. James did.
But you were talking about somebody else that you were fixing to pray for.
But then it's her husband, Randy, who needs to be saved, so we can pray for him. So yeah, thank you, Lord. Well, God, thank you, Jesus, for the testimony of James, Lord God, and just let him be continue to pursue you, Father. I have such a pursuit for you, Lord, and truth for your word, Lord, and just want to know you, God. And I thank you, Father, you will use his life. Let it shine before his Father, God. Lord, deliver Randy from all that unbelief, dear God, and bitterness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And just such bitterness towards his wife because of the way she was, Lord. I pray, God, that you would deliver him from that, that you would just do a mighty miracle by your Spirit, Lord, and bring them back together and as one, Lord God, truly one in you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the work you're going to do. We're just seeing James get saved. I believe it's going to happen to Randy too, Lord. And we just thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord.
Amen. We break the power of Satan off of Randy right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that my mind didn't go blank. It just quit. No.
He's the Lord. He knew what it was. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Anyway, Lord, we just thank you for sending somebody around to Randy that he would listen to bring the gospel to him, that he would come into the kingdom in a mighty way and be a help to everybody around him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Randy.
Thank you.
Isn't that funny how that works sometimes?
Do you remember the time I was going to sing a song a couple years ago? I started to sing, got a few words out, and all the words just left me. Do you remember that, Michael? I couldn't sing this.
I don't know. There's been so many. I don't remember.
Anna had to help me out. I knew the song so well, too. I'd sing it all the time. But when I went to sing it, I just thought it was the devil. He just took the words out of me. What's next? And she didn't tell me what was next. I understand.
I'd have probably fell off into Jesus loves me. Something like that. Just said, well, here's what I guess I want me to sing. No, I remember a case like that. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray for my daughter. Lord, I just lift up Courtney to you. And I ask and I pray the same thing for her, that somebody that she would listen to would come by and give her the gospel in a way that would change her life. I break the power of Satan, leftness, the left garbage, and all of that off of her, and I pray all strongholds I command to come down, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant repentance to her, that you've already done that, and bring her back into the fold of the kingdom of God, and I praise you for that, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for placing it in her heart to forgive those that she feels like has come against her. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Courtney. In Jesus' name. The other two are saved. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? All right. What would y'all like to talk about the next program? Yep. Yes. I'll leave it up to the Lord. Nobody had anything on their mind. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you know, I read this parable here. Didn't even know it was a parable in Mark chapter 7. And you know, it's where they didn't want to wash their hands and they were eating the fruits. And in Mark, it says that they later came together and they asked Jesus about the parable, you know. And I went, it was a living parable because they were doing something and Jesus had a parable out of it, because not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth, you know. So they have a living parable there. And really, you know, when you think of parables, and then you think of, I don't know how to question this or there is a parable here that they're living. And it's these people trying to accuse God, Jesus' disciples, brand new disciples, by the way, and they don't really have the blood yet of Jesus, you know. They don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but he's trying to wreck some things here for Jesus, you know. And they couldn't understand. Could it be that today the same thing is happening? Because we struggle with things. But, you know, what about the rest of the church? You know? So I don't know really how to pose a question for this, but that's what I was looking at, you know, like this is a living parable. If you think about it, we're all parables. Either you're going to be, what's Ecclesiastes 1:9? There's a parable that can go either to the left hand or to the right hand of God. And we're told to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're made to be seated there. So it's a progressive thing. And so there is a parable to that, and it's a living parable that we're supposed to be. You know, we are following the parable and the acts of the Word of God, or you'll be following the acts of a different word. So we're living parables. So how can we question this? How can we? It's just a thought anyway. Hopefully it makes some person get an idea of what we should be talking about next time. Anyway, I'm sure it will be related to this, because that's pretty much everything. You know, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. Everyone will live either the dark side or the light side of that. So that they'll have a spirit of righteousness or not, you know, just or. The idea of this parable that we live in is this was an active portion of Jesus's disciples going through a living parable, and it's what you're going through now. So why can't we always parallel? I don't know how to point this question, but I think you got a pretty good idea of what I'm trying to say here. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
You were talking about Luke. Let me see here just a second. Mark 7. 18 through 23. Is that what you were speaking of?
Mark 7, 1, and then after 1, it's 17. And they took him. You see, you would read that and you wouldn't think it was a parable because it's something that was actually transpiring. You know, he told them about why they, you know, they he was trying to accuse them, but Jesus then came around and said, why do you have this tradition of man, a tradition of the elders? You know, do we have traditions of the elders now that we might be following in people in the 40,000 divisions of denominationalism, since they're all divided on a different word? Are they following some sort of parable here that is in a cause of something that was legalistic or an accusation or something, you know? I don't know how to word this, but it's our struggle, and it's our overcoming. I guess the struggle and overcoming would be a good thing to discuss. You know, we have examples of the struggle and overcoming, and we read about them in the scriptures, and we read about other people's testimonies too. So, I don't know. Maybe I just don't know how to word this. This parable to action, parable to shining, parable, your parable life to shining, your parable life to action, your parable life, because living is the word of God and active. And yet this is what's coming out of the person's mouth. You know, it's not what's going into his mouth, you see. So, anyway, that's the only way I can put it. I don't know how to put it any more simpler. It's discussing actions that are in the past and actions that are in the present and actions that are in the future that we know of that we want to get into, you see. You understand? Or is this just
more sure
to be manifesting, to be shining, to be active in the word of God? You know, living is the word of God and active, but there is an opposing word. So and there's a parable to this, and it's a living parable or it's not a living parable. So, and we have examples of this. These guys didn't know what Jesus was talking about, but it's, you know, here you have an example just prior to that where Peter is rebuking Jesus. Oh no, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. He had a little bit of a mix-up when he was saying that Jesus was saying that he was going to be taken and put on the cross and die, you know. Of course, Peter wanted him to live with him all the time because, you know, he's a pretty good buddy to have around, you know. And so he said something wrong, and Jesus, and he just finished saying something really profound too, like, "Thou art the Son of God," and then he goofed up in the next line, you know. Is there a parallel there, maybe, in our struggle and overcoming? You get what I'm saying? Like, here we have the first time Jesus is talking to the people, and could that be the same struggle that we're going to be getting into, or we're already into right now? So, you know, they say that in the study that the Gospels are going to be the tribulation, and the great tribulation is going to be the book of Acts when they started losing their lives, you know. So there's a lot of parallel there that the Lord is preparing for us now to watch for and to be ready. So maybe that's it. A discussion about watching and being ready.
Yeah, we could do that.
I don't know how to question. I don't know how to put this to a question. You know, like you might come on and you might already have a struggle and make a testimony about what you went through that day or something, you know, and I guess we do that all the time anyway. So just omit what I said. I want to have a study about fellowship, you know, because that's kind of silly, because we learn things in the fellowship from each other anyway. And you know that the people learned from Paul, you know, like look at all those things he had to go through in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, you know, and he's giving testimony about it anyway. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just rambling on. Anyways, glory to God.
What sounded interesting to me, Andrew, was the living parable. I was thinking you were going to ask something about, let's discuss how and what ways of our lives may have been a living parable. Like, you know, if we can think of something. I thought that's what you meant, but maybe not.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that's what I was kind of hoping, maybe someone would come up with something from all this thing I was talking about, you know. But you know, even with that, you know, maybe we can leave it with Michael to maybe put a question to all of this, you know, and that we might discuss on Thursday. I don't know. Maybe we can do it for next Tuesday. You know, and just go
something
with this.
Come up. Something will bring come. It up.
The Lord will bring it for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
He will.
He always does.
Yeah.
So praise God. Well, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We praise you, Father, that we're all following your word as far as how to pray and how to get our prayers answered, and that is to do it just like the Word does, just like the Lord Jesus did. That is to command and to believe in the promises. Thank you, Father, for the faith that you've given each and every one of us to believe that we can be healed, we can be delivered, we can do the things that you want us to do because of the faith that you've given us. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our day today, our night tonight, and also our day tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's see what I got to do here.